The same was true for Genoa. Genoa didn't face any major secular lord or king who was trying to impose his authority over the city. And this was different from cities such as Barcelona, Marseille, certainly the cities of southern Italy and Sicily, which came under the control of the Norman kings. And so Venice and Genoa enjoyed a true independence that allowed these cities to develop the kind of commercial aristocracy, the merchant elite, who certainly were as bold and valorous as any crusading noble. One only needs to read the pages of Villehardouin during the crusade of the Fourth Crusade and the capture of Constantinople. The Venetians are just as valorous as any of the crusader knights in participating in the siege. Nonetheless, they are able to develop their institutions and their society based on commerce without the interference and the taxation of a secular lord or king. And that meant that both cities ended up being the termini of important trade routes that went across Lombardy, down the Rhine, into the heart of the European trading network. And neither of them had to have any fear of being brought under the political power of the Holy Roman Emperor, the King of France, whatever. Those profits stayed in Venice and Genoa and were used to develop the city. So that was one of the advantages they had. And, of course, that would be a long-term advantage that would play to their success. They also happened to be cities that were extremely well positioned in order to tap into seamen, naval stores. This is especially true of Venice. The capture of the city of Zara in 1202, that was just the Venetians asserting their control over the Dalmatian coast, and the Genoese and Venetians both controlled key coastal areas that, again, were fairly remote and cut off from their hinterland, where they could draw the timber, the seamen, the pitch, the materials necessary to build those fleets, and they were not dependent on any kind of secular lord to provide those commodities. And that, again, was an important advantage they had going into the Crusades. And in the case of the Venetians, they had an arrangement with the Byzantines whereby they were under the protection of the Byzantine rulers for so long, but they were not under any kind of direct Byzantine administration. Well, already in the 12th century, you can see that the Venetians enjoy a special position. They stay out of the First Crusade, probably because they're not really quite interested in getting involved with an operation that was more to the advantage of Pisan and Genoese fleets, which were seen as rivals, and they felt themselves more aligned with the Byzantine world. But if you take the first major intervention of the Venetians into the Levant, and you compare it with the privileges they had in the Byzantine Empire, in 1124, Baldwin II concluded something that is known as the Pactum Warmundi, which was a document that stipulated the advantages the Venetians would receive if they participated in the capture of Tyre. And I've referred to elements of that contract when I was describing the economic development of Tyre in the 13th century. Venice received one-third of the city and its surrounding hinterland, plantations, and villages. It also received the rights to try its citizens in its own court. She had the right to set up churches, factories, storerooms, all of this. In effect, there was an independent Venetian community put in Tyre, quite different from the types of privileges the Byzantines gave, which were always under strict Byzantine supervision. This type of arrangement became the basis for the extension of Venetian power after 1204. It is these types of arrangements and deals that the Venetians will take from the Latin emperors in Constantinople, and which the Genoese will take from the restored Byzantine emperors in Constantinople. That is, the arrangements in the Levant become extended across the Mediterranean in the aftermath of the Fourth Crusade to the benefits of Venice and Genoa. In addition, the Fourth Crusade had a major impact on Venice, the Third Crusade on Genoa, which supplied a good deal of the fleets, but the for Richard and Philip Augustus, but let's look at Venice for a moment. The Fourth Crusade led to the construction of a vast war fleet and commercial vessels to accompany that fleet to convey the Crusaders to, it was supposed to be, Egypt. By the best reckoning we have of that Treaty of Venice, which was negotiated in part by the historian Villehardouin, who gives us the numbers, so he would know more than anyone else, there were 50 galleys constructed and at least 450 different types of transports. And I mentioned that some of these transports were specially designed for the conveying of horses. Up to 50 horses could be put on these types of vessels. This was an enormous capital investment in a fleet, and it gave the Venetians the fleet necessary to exploit the advantages of that came after 1204. In constructing that fleet, You could argue, well, it's an indication that the Venetians always intended to hijack this crusade and take Constantinople. That's a position I don't subscribe to. But nonetheless, once Constantinople was taken, the Venetians certainly had the fleet and the institutions behind the fleet, that is the building facilities, the financial and banking facilities, to use this fleet to take over the Byzantine trade network. And that's what happened in 1204.